From Paris to Portland, you've picked up the guidebooks. You've followed the advice. This is the Fromer Travel Show. Pauline Fromer, president of Fromer Media, and Jason Cochran, editor-in-chief of Fromers.com, with the most complete, the most up-to-date travel information available anywhere. The pages of the Fromer's guidebooks come alive right now, exclusively on 77 WABC.
And welcome to the Fromer Travel Show. I'm Pauline Fromer, and today Jason is still in London. He's been having some weird Wi-Fi issues, so in studio with me is one of the finest travel writers I know. His name is Seth Kugel. Say hello, Seth.
Hi, Pauline. Come on. I'm not one of the finest. I mean, you might be exaggerating.
All right, the finest.
Oh, the finest.
Is that all right?
Oh, yeah, that's
fine. Seth was the frugal traveler for the New York Times for a number of years. He now has a terrific new book out called Rediscovering Travel, which I recommend reading to just take your mind off everything that's happening. Let me say at the top of this show, we are not here to tell you to travel right now, which may seem odd for the travel show. We strongly believe in social distancing, so I'm not going to tell you to get on a plane right now. That would be madness. But since we do think travel will come back, we want to talk about that, and we want to talk about the fun things in travel. Let's get all our minds off what's going on right now.
We can fantasize about our future trips.
Absolutely.
Right now.
Or talk about the great things that happened on our old trips. So the question of the day Seth came up with, it has to do with his book. It's, who's the most memorable person you ever met while traveling? If you want to call in with that, our number is 800-848-WABC. That's 800-848-WABC. And Seth and I will discuss that later. But we thought, so many people right now have travel plans that they're having to cancel. So we thought we'd start out the show with a PSA, with a public service announcement about what's going on if you want to travel. Let's start with the easiest part of the equation, which are hotels. The vast majority of hotels do not require you to put down money in advance, so you should be able to cancel hotel reservations without any problems. However, in recent years, there's new policies have come to the fore that allow people to pay in advance to get a really cheap rate. And so Seth and I were quickly looking at what the policies are for every hotel. And let me say, a great place to get all this information, if you can't sit by the radio and write it all down, is at Fromers.com. Our website has an article with links to the policies of every major travel organization out there. So if you go to Fromers.com and just look at the main screen, you'll find that. But let's go through a couple. Which ones do you have, Seth?
I have Hyatt here, so any Hyatt-related hotel. You can cancel any reservation that you've made that starts up till April 30th, even 24 hours in advance, and get a full refund.
But it has to be 24 hours in
advance. No. Up to 24. So you can do it 18 days in advance.
Right.
You just can't do it the same day.
Right. So anybody who had travel plans and kind of they might have, you know, skipped your mind because of all that's happening and do make sure that you get on this because you want to get that money back. Hilton is the same. Hilton will allow you to get rid of your reservations up to 24 hours in advance for any stay through the end of April if you've paid in advance. Now, say you have a May booking.
Yeah, you got to hold off for now.
You got to hold off for now. We got to see what's going to happen. What's the next one you have?
Accord.
Okay.
And these seem to be slacking off just a tiny bit here. You never know. It could change at any time.
Yeah.
But right now they're not offering refunds. That is, if you booked something that had no refunds to begin with. But you can change your arrival date to any date through the end of this year.
Okay.
So, you know, that doesn't sound so great to me. If I already booked a flight and I have my plane ticket and I'm going to have to change everything.
Yeah.
But it could change. You know, what we're seeing, I guess, is that these policies are changing day by day.
They are. Marriott also has a 24 hours prior for travel through the end of April. With Wyndham, you have to cancel 48 hours in advance to get your money back, and that's only through the end of March. My guess is they'll update that. Choice Hotels, I gotta say, I find this a black mark on Choice Hotels. They're not giving you your money back. They're giving advance purchases. They're saying you get choice points for future travel purchases.
Mm.
So I think that's going to make a lot of people very angry.
Yeah. I just have to correct myself. One thing about Accor, if you have reservations in Italy, you are allowed to cancel them.
So, and probably China,
too, I would think, in Korea.
Although, frankly, Americans aren't going anywhere
right
now. We're not going to be traveling anywhere. You know, I see we have a call coming in. It sounds like a wonderful one. We have Lynn in Plainview, New York, on the line. And Lynn, I hear you met someone very, very special when you were traveling. Lynn, are you there? Huh, I'm not hearing Lynn. Did we lose Lynn? Okay, we lost Lynn. Lynn, would you call us back? And anybody else who wants to speak with us, 800-848-9222. Now let's talk about the airlines. What do you do if you have an airline ticket? That too will depend on who you have that ticket with. I hear we have Lynn. So we'll get back to airline tickets in a moment. Lynn, you are live on the Travel Show. You get a special blue ribbon today because you're our first caller. Are you there? Huh. All right. I guess we don't have Lynn. Something seems to be happening with our system. You know, I spilled water on our console right before the show, and I'm wondering if I shorted things out. Who knows? Could be. Anyway, all right. Airfares. I have been having to deal with this myself because I thought I was going to be doing this show from Chicago because the next 2 weeks had been dedicated to me traveling around the United States with my daughter, who's a junior in high school, looking at colleges. And that's not going to happen for obvious reasons. So I had to call a couple of places because while it was mostly a road trip, we did have a couple of flights. American Airlines, boom, gave me my money back.
You think they recognize your name? Fromer, we better give her money back.
I don't think so, but who knows? The woman I spoke to seemed very under the gun.
Mm-hmm. God, that must be so stressful to be working in these 24-hour call centers.
Yeah, you know? At Delta, it took an hour and a half for them to call me back. What I did is I just left my phone on, and I went out grocery shopping. And then finally, they picked up. Delta told me that I have a credit for 21 months. Mm. Not 21 months, through February. So with them, I didn't get my money back. I got a credit for future travel.
No, you'll be able to use that, I bet.
Well, you know, I don't like traveling, so who knows? No, kidding. So it seems like every airline has a different policy. What Delta also did was they sent out an email begging people not to call them if their travels are farther out than 7 days. Right. It's pretty clear that the airlines are really, really overwhelmed right now.
And we see that also with the online travel agencies. Priceline says don't call them if your trip's not within 72 hours. Expedia within 1 week, you know, unless it's within a week.
But are the third-party sites dealing directly with these problems?
Most of them are saying call your airlines directly.
Right.
For flights. They say we're here to help you if it's something more complicated, but that if it's just the flights, to call the airlines directly. Also, they seem completely overwhelmed anyway. So try the airlines first and then be nice to the people who answer the phone.
Yes, be very nice. The frustrating thing about Delta was I did try and do it online because I knew they'd be overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. But it kept saying, error, please call. So I finally called. They just are getting so many requests to change tickets. The woman who I finally talked to and was very nice to, that they decided that they're doing it all by phone. So do call, try and get your money back if it's within a week. If it's not, wait. with the exception of a couple of carriers. Before it became clear that none of us should be traveling anywhere, I spoke at the Washington, D.C. Travel and Adventure Show, and Peter Greenberg was on the stage before me, and he said that he is very worried that certain carriers are going to go belly up. He listed Norwegian Airlines. Right. He listed Alitalia. We all know that... What was the one in England that went up recently? Flybe, was it? I think it was Flybe. So if it's one of those iffy airlines, you may want to call sooner rather than later to try and get your refund. Now, those iffy airlines do not include any of the U.S. carriers. United should be fine. American should be fine. Delta should be fine. Southwest, JetBlue, don't be bothering them because you're worried about getting your money back. You will get it back eventually. I'm looking at the clock. We have to take our first break. We would love to get your calls. Hopefully, we'll be able to take them. The number, once again, is 800-848-WABC. That translates to 800-848-9222. We'll be right back.
Pauline Frommer, Jason Cochran, The Frommer Travel Show, only here where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Welcome back to The Frommer Travel Show. I'm Pauline Frommer, and today my co-host is Seth Kugel, who was the Frugal Traveler, my favorite of the Frugal Travelers. Don't tell Elaine Glusak, the new one. She's terrific, too. He also has a really great book out. If you've been missing travel or travel planning in your current life of being socially distant, pick up his book. It's available in ebook too, right?
Ebook, paperback, hardcover, audio.
Yes, you read it aloud?
Oh, you know what? I didn't. It actually, there's a big trend now where authors read their own books. Yeah. It's been for a few years.
Yeah.
I was just before the cutoff there.
Oh,
so some other person who seems like a great guy.
He read it.
A very nice voice.
Read it. Yeah. So it's called Rediscovering Travel, which is something I think we all will be doing a couple of months from now. It's kind of a prescient title. So we were discussing cancellations. As most of you have heard, I'm sure all of the cruise lines are bringing in their boats and will not be sailing. In some cases, they won't be sailing till April 14th, some till the end of April. If you were supposed to sail, you probably know that you're getting all your money back, or you have a choice of getting 125% of the cost of the cruise in a credit towards a future cruise. So that's for cruising. We talked a little bit about airlines, that its cancellation policies differ one from one. The third-party sites, I wish they were doing better. If you look at a site like Trip.com and you booked there, you'll have no idea how to get your money back. I can't find anything on their website that explains it. The same for Booking.com. Mm-hmm. They're really falling down. It doesn't take that long. At Frommers.com, we have all kinds of information on coronavirus. In fact, if you weren't able to write down what we've been talking about in this discussion about cancellation policies, go to Frommers.com. You'll find a great article there with links to every single travel company, which will quickly get you to the right page so you know what the policies are and how you're going to get your money back. All right, let's talk about...
What about Airbnb?
Oh, Airbnb. Thank you,
okay.
Seth.
Well, Airbnb seems to have extended its, what they call their extenuating circumstances policy. So if you made your reservation before March 14th, is that today? Is that yesterday?
Yeah, that's today.
Oh, that's today. Okay, so they're right up to date.
Because yesterday was Friday the 13th, most appropriately.
So if you're checking in within the next month, up till April 14th, you can get that refunded.
Right.
And also if you're a host, you can also cancel without being penalized. I'm not a host, so I don't know what that penalty is. But
right.
I guess you get a strike against you for canceling on people.
Yeah. So the key piece of advice is if you're traveling within 7 days, do be proactive. Get on the phone. Get on the internet. Make sure you're getting your money back, because if that plane leaves and you're not on it, you've lost your chance for a refund probably. Or if your Airbnb stay comes and goes and you forgot about it, you're probably being charged for it. If it's longer than 7 days out, I'd say give these travel companies a break. Give them a little time. Their phones are overwhelmed. Their systems are overwhelmed. And you'll be overwhelmed. You'll wait several hours to get through to them. So you just want to give them a little more time.
On the other hand, you probably have the time to wait around for several hours because you're at home doing nothing.
Yeah, that's true. It's a very strange time. Anyway, we're now going to move to happier matters. We're going to talk about who are the most memorable people you have met when you're traveling. And Seth, I know this is something you've written about in your book, Rediscovering Travel.
Right. I mean, I always say that when I think of a trip, if you name a trip I've taken any time in the past, the first image that comes to my mind is never a palace. It's never a view of a mountain range. It's always the face of a person.
Yeah.
I associate every trip I have with somebody that I met. So it's almost impossible to choose one, but I think I would have to choose a pistachio farmer in Turkey.
Wow.
Which I had the greatest afternoon possible. I was driving from one city in Turkey to another, from Gaziantep to Sanliurfa, places now that are kind of overrun with Syrian refugee camps and that sort of thing. So you actually can't necessarily visit those places anymore, hopefully in the future. But it's Pistachio Company, and I was there, and I was there to write about pistachios.
Wow.
And I realized I hadn't spent any time in a pistachio farm. I'd been eating a lot of baklava, and it was all delicious. And then I was just driving from one city to the other. I realized I was driving through pistachio farms. I decided, I'm getting off the road. I'm going on this dirt road.
What does this pistachio farm look like?
Kind of looks like an olive farm in a way.
Okay, because it's all trees.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's dry. The climate seems almost kind of dryish, Mediterranean,
sort of
olivey. And got off the road. There was a sign leading to three villages. And I went to the first village. Nobody was anywhere. I went to the second village. A guy comes out and takes a picture of my license plate because he thinks I'm some sort of a spy. What's going on here? But I kept on going. I went to the third village, and it turns out pretty much everyone was at mosque or was at prayer, morning prayers. They were all coming out by the time I got to the third village, and I stepped out of my car, and I swear within 30 seconds, a guy invited me over for lunch.
Without
speaking any Turkish, or without my speaking any Turkish or him speaking any
How do you know it was lunch you were invited to?
Because he was using hand signals.
He
had such a kindly face, and I went over. Well, and I also know that Turkish people are just known for inviting you over. You know, you have to know what the local custom is. If someone invites you over in New York who doesn't speak English through hand signals, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And then I just spent the whole afternoon with him and his family. Almost nobody spoke any English, and yet somehow, you know, you find a way to talk about things. We talked about great soccer players.
Wow.
Somehow, and I'll never know how this happened, I figured out, he communicated to me that oil companies had come by to test if there was any oil under his pistachio trees. And there I guess there hadn't been.
Right.
Or maybe he got abducted by Martians. I think that's what he was telling me.
Yeah.
And then the kids came in because it was a holiday.
Wow.
And the kids came in with their English books from learning English in school. But they knew almost no English. And basically they just knew how to say, I love you. So they were... They said they loved me. I didn't quite believe them. But then they used it to say, Seth, I love you, Turkey. Like, as if, do I love Turkey? It was an amazing thing. And then some of their other kids, their more adult kids, had a little concert for me with local instruments. It was amazing. I just tear up really just thinking about it.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, a lot of times when you're sort of invading other people's houses, you think, am I taking advantage here? You know, they're feeding me. Should I be paying them? But I knew that in this particular household, I was welcome, and then we're having an even exchange, because as I was taking pictures of them, they were all filming me with their cell phones. So it was a total equal exchange of who's this weird guy.
So you're a social media star in Turkey, probably.
I guess so. But and you do have to watch out for that when you interact with people on the road, of course. You don't want to be taking advantage of them. But at this point, I think I have a feeling that if any of them are on a radio show right now in Turkey, they're talking about this weird guy that came in a few years ago and they showed him around the pistachio fields.
I guess one of my most memorable was I was in Taiwan at this monastery that is very famous for having a tooth of the Buddha.
Mm.
Now, who knows if this is actually the tooth of the Buddha, but the guy who was asked to show me around was a Buddhist monk from Germany, spoke perfect English, who lives in Taiwan, is a major monk, at this site.
And, I didn't know you could be a major monk.
Well, I guess, yeah, you're right. I don't know if you could be. He seemed like a major monk because everybody there adored him.
Right. Okay.
It was monks and nuns living there. And everywhere we went, the room just lit up in his presence. And I could understand why after spending some time with him, because this was a man who his small talk was asking you the meaning of life. He just loved philosophy and loved ideas. And within 2 minutes of meeting him, I found myself discussing my greatest fears and my greatest hopes. And it was this wonderful, wonderful afternoon we had. And of course, I've always been interested in philosophy because I had the most pretentious major when I was in college. Mm. I was an intellectual history major.
Wow.
Which was the history of, it was how philosophy has and has not affected world events over the years. Mm. So, you know, Dr. Spock changed the way we raise children, might have made the 60s more violent because, you know, a lot of people felt that they had the right to speak their mind to power because it was all changed, you know, things of that sort.
Wow.
You know, Voltaire, Rousseau, et cetera. And so we
look at her throwing around Voltaire and Rousseau here.
So we discussed all of that. And within an hour, I thought, if I hadn't met my husband, this is the man I should have married. Of course, he's a celibate monk, so that ain't going to happen. But it was just one of the best afternoons of my life. And, you know, he explained a lot about his form of Buddhism. He showed me the Buddha's tooth, if it is. And it just was a magical, magical afternoon. So if you'd, I hear we have our phones back. We have to take a quick commercial break now. It'll be very quick, I promise. Call us 800-848-9222. We want to hear who is the most memorable person you've ever met. We'll be right back.
The Frommer's Guidebooks come alive. Pauline Frommer and Jason Cochran. The Frommer Travel Show on 77 WABC.
Welcome back to the Travel Show. We've got a lot of calls, so we're going to try and get them on air. If you'd like to join them, once again, the number is 800-848-9222. Lynn has been persistent, and we love that. So we're going to speak first to Lynn. Lynn, are you on the air with us?
How are you?
Oh, Lynn, it's so great to talk to you.
So good to speak with you.
Finally, right?
Thank you.
But I've been listening to all the stories, especially the turkey story, which was awesome.
Oh, thanks.
Okay. Yes, I wanted to speak about a gentleman that I met, my husband and I met on a river cruise 2 years ago, who was 94 years old, and he met his wife who was with him, of course not his first wife, but they were married for 3 years, and they met online, which was amazing in and of itself, right?
Yeah.
But he was on this river cruise, and he was 94, and he got around and did every tour with us through Europe. We went to Vienna, Hungary, and Germany. He went all over, and he was just the most inspiring gentleman I will ever meet.
Oh, how wonderful.
Everybody. Yes.
And what was his wife like?
She was very good, I mean, I have to say.
So they seemed well-matched. It was an internet match that worked.
Absolutely. I can't believe that he even knew to get online to do this.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't Tinder.
Well, you never know.
I don't know what it was. I didn't ask. I was just in awe of him. Everybody on the river cruise was in awe of him. He was just incredible. I will never forget him.
How great. Well, thank you, Lynn. That was a lovely story. All right, we are going to move to Patricia in Rocky Point. Patricia, you are live on the Frommer Travel Show. Nice to speak with you.
You too. Enjoying the show as always.
Thank you. And I hear you, your person was from South Africa. What's the story there?
We were in Cape Town. We were with a tour, and we were in Cape Town in a hotel. And they told us they were going to bring us over to Robben's Island that day.
Wow.
And prior to that, though, they brought us into a living room.
Before you go any further, just for people who may not know, Robben's Island is the prison island that Nelson Mandela was imprisoned on for 30-odd years. So just now go on with your story. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, that's fine. So we went into this living room, and there were two chairs seated before us. And in one of the chairs was an African man, a black African man, And he was introduced to us, and he just very briefly and told us his story. He had been with Mandela, prior to Mandela, actually, as one of the apartheid fighters.
Wow.
And he told us his story and of all the things that had happened to him and his community and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And he was different from, and he told us right out, he was different from Mandela in that he was not for peaceful resolution.
Hmm.
And from there, we had questions and answers, and then he accompanied us over to Robben's Island and took us around, and we met another ex-prisoner there.
Wow.
And they described everything to us. They showed us everything, and to me, that was the most memorable man that I have met, because he spoke so eloquently and yet was so different from Mandela.
Did he seem bitter about the experience?
Well, I'll say something that he told us at that time in his life he hated white people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but now he has come to terms with it, and his wife is white.
Wow. Fascinating.
Yes.
That what a wonderful story, Patricia. Do you know if it's common? I have not been to South Africa. Jason, my usual co-host, lived there for a while, so he knows South Africa well. But is this a common experience to get shown around by a freedom fighter?
No, I believe it was through the company that we toured with. I don't know if I'm allowed to say who.
Sure, please. Say.
Talc Tours.
Talc is very good at setting up experiences like this.
Exactly.
Because I've been to Northern Ireland, and one of the highlights there is doing a black taxi tour where you go around with a former fighter from that conflict, and it's absolutely heart-rending and fascinating.
Well, enjoy your show very much.
Thank you. And thank you for calling, Patricia. That was terrific. All right. Next, we will have Blenda from Merrick, New York. Blenda, am I saying your name right?
Yes, you are. It's a very unusual name.
It is.
I'm the only one in the world with that name. I don't know what happened when my mother named me. I think it was a mistake. It might have been supposed to be Brenda or Glenda or anything else.
Oh,
yeah.
That's funny. Well, was your mother prone to mistakes?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I hear you have another Turkish experience to relate.
And this gentleman's story jogged my
Seth
memory
Kugel.
About it. A few years ago, I've been traveling with this gal that I happened to meet in Vietnam. I was with another travel partner, and she was with someone else. And we have been traveling together ever since. She lives in Montreal, and I live in New York. But we were in Turkey, and she was born in Egypt, as it turns out, so she's familiar with all that culture. We took a walk after dinner, and we passed this catering hall, and there were a lot of people mingling outside, all dressed up, and she said, oh, they're having a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, it looks like that. She said, well, let's peek in at the bride. And I said, no, that wouldn't be right. She said, oh, they would love it. So we peeked in, and they saw us in the doorway, some of the people from the families, whisked us in, sat us down, brought food over, drinks over. She said, I told you it wouldn't be embarrassing. They love having people, you know. They brought us up to the dance floor and made us dance with them. It was quite an experience.
Oh, my goodness.
Very unforgettable. And, of course, when we came back to the hotel, the rest of our travel group was in the lobby. And they said, where have you two been now? Because we were always taking off on our own. And we told them we went to a wedding. And they didn't believe it, but I had pictures on my phone to show them.
Oh, my goodness. How wonderful.
That's
Seth,
amazing.
I got to ask you, you know Turkey well. I've been too, but I've never done anything like that. Is that common?
I think we have a new marketing strategy for the Turkish tourism agency, because it's just incredible. I think it's quite common. Different countries have different attitudes towards strangers, and Turkey people are very, very sort of ingrained in the culture of many of people anyway, to invite folks in.
Yeah.
Invite strangers in.
Wow. Well, what a wonderful experience, Blenda. We thank you for sharing.
Thanks, Blenda.
I'm looking at the clock. We have to take another short break, but to Lucy, Lola, Bill, and Marilyn, we'll have you on as soon as we get back, so hold tight.
Get a jump on vacation plans. The Frommer Travel Show. Pauline Frommer and Jason Cochran. 77 WABC.
You're listening to The Frommer Travel Show, and we're being a little nostalgic about travel because you obviously can't hit the road right now, but that doesn't mean it won't come back. We're sure it will. And we're talking about some of the best, most memorable people we've ever met while traveling. We have Lola on the line from Hudson County to discuss that. Hey, Lola, I hear you had a celebrity encounter while traveling.
Good afternoon. Another wonderful show.
Thank you.
That's the good thing about travel. We can bring back those memories.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly, Lola.
We left on December 12, 1975 from New Jersey. We returned on March 20th, 1976. Our parents took us on my father's dream vacation. He drove. I bought a brand new Century Buick wagon. We spent Christmas Eve in Miami, New Year's Eve in Houston, Texas. We crossed into Mexico. He drove all the way down to Acapulco. On the way up, my sister, a wannabe actress, we stopped in, you know, we came up San Diego, and we were in Los Angeles, and they took us to Universal Studios. Remember, Jaws was the movie at the time.
Uh-huh.
And as we're going through Universal Studios, there we see Lucille Ball.
Wow.
In person.
In person. Beautiful. My brother was 11. I was 13. My sister was 14. She stopped. She greeted us. So kind. My parents were born in Cuba, so they had an accent like Ricky Ricardo, Desi Arnaz. And she was the nice, her beautiful hair, beautiful, sweet and kind. And then, you know, slowly we came back to Las Vegas, Chicago, and we were back in New Jersey on March 20th, 1976. And our parents said, okay, get back to school, start studying, because we're going to the Montreal Olympics in 76.
Wow, they were real travelers.
I like these parents.
They instilled that in us. And we met Gordon Lightfoot in Montreal.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, in Montreal. We were in the pool at the hotel, and his daughter was there. And she's like, oh, our dad is. We're like, we don't know who he is. And then we found out. And traveling is wonderful. It's an education. It's memorable.
Yes.
And my parents are long gone, but I have those wonderful memories.
That's fantastic.
That's wonderful. You know, I have a celebrity travel story. When I was a toddler, we were visiting my grandmother who lived in Miami, and we were on Miami Beach, and this was the 70s, so my parents were very laissez-faire parents, and apparently I just toddled into the ocean, and they didn't notice, and Jackie Gleason happened to be nearby.
I can't believe it.
He grabbed me out of the ocean and saved my life.
Wow.
So thank you, Jackie Gleason. I'm here today because of him. All right.
And thank you, Arthur Frommer, because we're here because of him. He encouraged my parents
Absolutely.
And all of us.
I was about to
Absolutely.
Say.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Lola.
He's my celebrity encounter on travel, Arthur Frommer.
All right. We're going to turn next to Lucy, who has a question. Lucy is in New York City. Hey, Lucy. Thank you for calling.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Yeah, I have a couple of questions. Yeah, I'm supposed to be cruising on Carnival Horizon on April 18. I don't know. I'm already booked. I don't know if those ships are going anywhere. And I haven't booked my flight yet from New York to, I don't know, the airlines are shutting down, or I'm not even sure.
The airlines are not shutting down, but they're flying pretty empty. So my advice to you is you don't need to book this yet. You will not risk paying too much by holding off. Right now, the airlines are so desperate for customers that they are giving incredible discounts on flights. So, you know, hopefully the cruise ship will be going by April 18th. But right now, your guess is as good as mine as to whether or not that will happen. So my advice would be to hold off. If you do want to book now, if you're the kind of person who does want to book, make sure that you get a refundable ticket. But I believe most tickets on most carriers will be refundable because they're so desperate to get the money in the bank that they are giving tickets with far more generous refund policies than I've ever seen before. Does that help, Lucy? Oops. All right. I'm not hearing Lucy anymore. Thank you for calling, Lucy. I'm going to next turn to Bill in Brooklyn. Oh, and I lost Bill in Brooklyn. Oh, darn. Well, we would love...
Oh, wait. I think he's there.
Is Bill there?
Hello. Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good.
Great.
Hey, Bill. Nice to speak with you.
Okay, I got to give you a little background on my mother. I'm 76. I was born in California, but was raised in Brooklyn from 3 years old. My dad was in the Army, and before he got shipped to the Aleutian Islands, my mother, at 25 years old, got on a train and went to California and married him. That was like going to the moon.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
At that point. A real strong woman she was. So she gave me travel advice. She said, never go to the same place twice.
Hmm.
On the third time, if you like that place, then go back to it, because you never know what you're missing. And I always remember that. Whether I was traveling to Europe or America, you know, I never went to the same place twice unless I really, really loved it.
And if you really loved it, you went up to three times?
Yeah, the third time on your travel, if the first time is so memorable, then go back to it.
Oh, okay.
But people get so comfortable. I know people that go to Aruba for 10 years.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean?
Although,
you don't know what you're missing.
Yeah, Seth, you are a guy who goes back over and over and over to Brazil.
That's true. Although I don't know that I have so much disagreement with his this policy, because I went twice and I still loved it, and I went a third time
right.
and I still loved it.
And so, it's a massive country, so you can go to different places in Brazil.
Country. I like the idea that when you go somewhere, you feel like it's your second home.
Yeah.
So Aruba, I don't know. That's a small island, and probably you could expand a bit in the Caribbean at the very least. But I love the feeling. I know a lot of people go back to Italy a lot. Not now at this exact moment.
Yeah.
And they get to know a little village.
I'm going back to Italy, but I'm not going to stay in the same hotel.
Right. Okay. Well, that's a fair. I'll grant you that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What do you love about Brazil, Seth?
Well, what I love about Brazil is just the people are incredibly welcoming and open and not get that many foreign tourists.
Huh.
And one of my big theories of travel is the fewer tourists that go to a place, the nicer the locals are to the tourists who do go.
Interesting.
And Brazil's a real example of that. Once you get out of Rio de Janeiro, people are surprised to even often to see a foreigner around.
Right. It's funny. I went to the it's Molokai in Hawaii is this very undervisited island. People sometimes fly in for a couple of hours to take this famous mule ride down the cliffs to the former leper colony. But if you go to Molokai and you actually visit the towns, I was stopped in the grocery store because I was an outsider. Anywhere else in Hawaii, they're tired of tourists.
Right.
They get tourists all the time, but not in Molokai. It was a very special place because of that. All right, I'm looking at the clock. We have to take another break, but that's a great opportunity for all of you to call 800-848-9222. Is the number. We'll get your calls up on the board over the break, and we'll be right back.
The most popular destinations for you and your family right here. Pauline Frommer and Jason Cochran, The Frommer Travel Show, 77 WABC.
Welcome back. I just want to quickly say something that I said earlier in the show, which is if you're having to cancel travel, if you want to figure out what's happening with potential future travel, please, please visit us at frommers.com because we have ever-changing updates there done in a very concise way so you can quickly find out what the policies are surrounding that. We're also going to be ramping up with travel information that is used to dream on. We're going to be posting a series of articles that are just fun to read, and we'll have beautiful photos in them, and will remind us of why we all love travel for the future when we can travel again. Or read Rediscovering Travel, which is by my guest, Seth Kugel. And Seth, give an overview of what's in the book.
The book covers all kinds of stuff on travel, but there's an overarching philosophy, which is that you should travel to get lost, not follow. It's sort of an off the beaten path.
Sure.
But it's a practical off the beaten path formula. Like, what should you do? Like the rule I discussed before, you should go to places, the fewer tourists a place has, the more friendly people are to tourists. You shouldn't depend as much on apps. It's great to get lost instead of using Google Maps so you're not looking into your phone. It's basically about discovery. It's lots of tips on how to be more discovery oriented when you travel.
All right. And I want to get back to the question of the day, which was the most memorable people you've met when you traveled. You said a Turkish pistachio farmer was one. Who's another?
Well, let's go with an small-town Ecuadorian soccer entrepreneur. How about that one?
That sounds good.
I was in Ecuador. I was in Cuenca, which is a beautiful city, but there are a lot of tourists there. And I just decided, okay, let's just do what I often do. Let's look at a map and let's find a town that doesn't look like there's anything going on there, and let's go there and see what happens. So I found this map. It looked on Google Maps like there were no roads there, but there had to be some roads. So I asked around, and this town was called Quinheio. And I got a bus there, and I arrived, and it was a beautiful old town. I confess that I did Google it online and saw that there was an old buildings there. So I knew it was at least going to be picturesque. I go, and it turns out this is the kind of place where there's nothing going on during the week, but on the weekends there's a market and a soccer tournament.
Oh.
And it turns out that this guy named Papa Morales, not his real name, but he has a restaurant called Papa Morales, runs this soccer tournament. And it was the most hilarious thing. It was great. All the people, these teams of six, comes down from the hills and all the villages around, and they play each other. And he's the announcer. And he's just going crazy. And I met him during one of the breaks.
And you speak Spanish.
I do speak Spanish.
So you were able to understand it.
But
so
I think it could have happened without my speaking Spanish. Because, again, it's one of these towns where you're just an instant celebrity if you go and nobody else is there. And these days in Latin America, you'll often find English-speaking people who have lived in the United States and come back. So that's a result of immigration, just a little twist. Anyway, so he started talking about me. So he says, oh, the great Papa Morales soccer tournament over the PA system.
Right.
We have a guest all the way from New York who's come to check out our players. And so you guys play well because you might be recruited. And the funny thing is, like, I got on his WhatsApp group because we had exchanged numbers. So I still get like two or three messages a day of things he posts about the soccer tournament.
Wow.
And this is like 5 years later. So I'm up to date on everything that goes on in the
town. In this tiny town. Do any of those soccer players get out into the big leagues?
Oh, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, no, no. I mean, this is just something people do on the weekends and and come into town and, you know, they sell food. And but it was just an amazing experience. And once in a while I think about, maybe I should cancel this guy off my WhatsApp list because it's always buzzing in my pocket. But then I think, no way, this is a great memory. It's a way to always sort of rekindle the memories of that couple days I spent there.
Now, you make it sound like you just wander into any small town and meet someone great. Is that the case?
Well, I mean, I'm tempted to say yes.
Okay.
I think it has a lot to do with, you know, I'm an experienced traveler and I'm used to it and I'm comfortable with it. And a lot of times I speak the language, although that's not the case in Turkey.
Right.
But there's different levels of how – I talk a lot in the book actually about how no matter what kind of a traveler you are – I just ask you to push a little bit further towards independence. So it's like the story we had before from the Turkey story. This woman was, I forget her name, was that Blenda?
Oh, Blenda, yes.
Part of a group.
Loved her
And she ditched the group.
Yeah.
So I don't have any problem with traveling in a group, especially with a great tour operator.
Sure, yeah.
But, you know, be ready to escape.
Absolutely.
That's all I'm saying. You don't have to go off on your own to a town that just appears on the map with no roads to it. But just be ready. If you see a reception hall and you glance in, see what happens.
Well, that's why I always sit at the bar, because I always find people to talk with if I eat my dinner at the bar. I'm hearing music in my ears. It means that we have to come to the end of this week's show. Jason will be back next week, but we've been having so much fun with Seth Kugel. Get his book, Rediscovering Travel. See you next week.